Hey, Brenna.
Hi, Maureen. Shout out to the horse people.
Oh yeah, did they get you?
The horse people helped me out. Thank you, horse people.
They came through.
Yeah, they came through. Last episode, I made some comments about horses that were vague and mysterious. Just like I find the beasts.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like not horse. I'm not anti-horse. I just don't know.
No, I know. You just keep trying to talk about horses.
I know. I don't know
anything about horses.
Yeah. So I was informed. Thank you to the folks who did reach out. We had two folks reach out. They made me cracked up. They made me crack up. I liked the email they got. That was just horses. as the subject line. But I was informed that horses don't really like to just go in like a straight line. There are like horse arenas, like usually a bit bigger than like a stall. They don't like just staying in their stall. They like to go out. And you know, they like to meander a bit. They're not straight runners, which I
think
is... No,
they're not just going to run straight back and forth along the ThunderClan, ShadowClan border.
Which is a shame. So we need like a really freaky horse. We need a weird. Yeah. We need a weird horse out there to deter this.
So we've had a doe star and we've had a stag leap, but I've never ever seen it mentioned anywhere, a warrior cat coming into contact with a deer. So maybe we gotta find a freaky deer.
I feel like an encounter between deer would just be... I feel like it would be scary.
It would be. It's just weird that we've never, ever, ever mentioned a deer.
Yeah,
in this book series that I can recall.
Have we encountered a hedgehog?
No.
Those are native to Great Britain. And yet...
And we use it in our... and hedgehogs will fly. We use hedgehog regularly. I guess maybe they just stay away.
I feel like getting hurt by a hedgehog would be something that should happen. I know they're not like as like maybe as populous now, but I know they're there. Why are we relying on mountain cats? You guys got hedgehogs.
Why are we talking about this? I have big news.
I guess, yeah,
I
oh yeah.
Huge news.
You do. We're 3 minutes in the podcast and I
Yeah, okay, huge news. On Monday, JJ and I bought a cat wheel. Yeah. Like, you
know,
one of those wheels.
That's cool.
Yeah, like those wheels that your cats run on.
I thought you were going to talk about your house again, and I was like, you already talked about that last week.
No, I'm going to talk about the house after this. Because it was finalized on Monday as well. We got our keys Monday.
That's really
Anyways,
cool.
It's
I did
so
think
cool.
I was thinking about it. Like, it's wild. If we ever time travel back to like who we were when we started this podcast, did you think we'd ever be homeowners?
No. Gosh.
Anyway.
But so the cat wheel, let me tell you how it went.
Well,
we got it in and it's got like a little stopper so that you can make it so that it can't move.
That's
and I'm like,
probably
okay.
Very smart. Has the boy been on it yet?
Okay, well, first I'm going to talk about the girl, because she was out first for it. In which case, JJ just wanted to let it be able to spin, and I'm like, not for my girl. She was like, what is this? But I did get her to kind of... For Amira.
I'm surprised Amira would even... She seems like she was too...
I mean, she's very suspicious. It took her a while to go on to it.
And she's so elegant. I'm trying to envision her.
I don't know. She gets some pretty radical zoomies.
I suppose.
She's you know what? She's the most beautiful cat in the world, but actually one of the least graceful things I have ever encountered.
She is a chaos
encountered.
Goblin. Yeah.
Yeah,
she
is.
Once
at
gets
heart,
trapped
she
behind
just
my fridge.
Hides it. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But after she got over her fear...
She did sit in it when it was not being able to move.
Lovely.
So, yeah. Yeah.
She's like, this is nice. And then one day he's going to be on it, like running, and she'll be like, hate that.
Right? So we let Pal come and take a look, and I let him sniff it and kind of put the stopper in, and took the stopper out and kind of had him. And it's, you know, we got it Monday. He'll do a nice little jog on it. He'll jog on that wheel.
Nice. That's pretty good progress.
Yeah. So hopefully, he enjoys it. And maybe it'll help him get some of that energy out instead of like chewing on all of our cords.
Yeah. Or maybe
but of course, no.
I mean, so he's gonna have so many more cords to chew on because you'll have a whole wiring system for him to get at.
Oh gosh, right? Wouldn't that be a nightmare? No, I'm already like when we move, I am already planning like my cord consolidation and protection
and the cat proofing.
Yeah.
One of the things we looked into when we were moving in here was we were glad none of the handles—they're all twist handles—and none of them are lever handles.
Oh my gosh.
Because KK can open up lever handles.
Pal is so close to figuring that out. And I'm like, man, if he does, we're done for. We're done.
No, you just replace
There won't be any containing him.
Just replace the handle.
This is in the rental.
I suppose you still got a couple months, huh?
Yeah. But we'll be moving into the new house, and then they don't have the and he's gonna have free reign. Everybody's gonna be living together, and we're gonna all have to deal with that. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, we bought a house, and we got our keys on Monday, and we met our it's so exciting. And so we met our realtor to get the keys and go into the house that we now officially own. And we brought our guy because we wanted to show him this big, big yard. And we get in the house and we're just like, we have a house. Ah, we have a house. Ah, Vincent, you're pooping on the floor. So within 30 seconds, Vincent walked in the house and pooped on the floor.
That means you made a good choice. He felt comfortable. He felt safe. He's like, I'm pooping right here, guys.
Yeah, like right as we got
into
the door.
He christened it for you.
He did, and you know
what?
You know,
like, people will break bottles of champagne on boats. People will, put a bow on their car, and Vincent will poop on your floor.
On the floor. I viewed it as the release of our collective stress.
You know what?
Because, I mean, it's so... Because, like, yeah, we got, you know, you get the offer accepted, but then there's so much that can go wrong between the offer accepted and the closing that, you know, it's like, okay, we have our heart set on this house. We have our wallet set on this house. We do not want to look for any more houses.
On this house.
Yeah, but it's like that loan could fall through. They could decide not to give it to us. There could be something so wrong that we can't get this house. So, you know, we have been so, so stressed, and he probably picked up on that. That was the release of all that stress. And we've been doing a lot of yard work because the weather's nice. And by we, I mean my partner JJ has been doing a lot of yard work because the weather's nice. And Vincent's been supervising, and he's been running around the yard, and he's been really digging it. So,
well, that's fantastic.
Can't wait to move everyone in.
Yeah.
Have you read anything? I haven't.
No, we don't read on this podcast anymore. We just talk about cats.
We don't read on this podcast. But you know, speaking of cats, I just got an email from my new local bookstore.
Oh.
The next Warrior Cats book is ready for me there. So the newest Warrior Cat book, it came out on Tuesday, but I've been very, very busy. So I pre-ordered, I decided to just special order it from my new bookstore. And I'm going to pick that up tomorrow. And
you
then,
guys know you, this is not the podcast to come to for the latest breaking news in Warriors world.
No, obviously not.
We're
a couple
decades behind, probably.
I'll give you my vibes. I'll tell you what I think about it when I finish it. Which I'm probably going to do this weekend because I'm going to have time. So that's going to be great. Seeing some family. So until then. So I'm looking forward to reading. But until then, shall we jump in?
Let's.
Because I'm Ember Heart.
And I'm Tangletongue.
And this is Warrior Cats.
What is that?
Thank you. I don't know.
There's a lot of questions. Not really. I mean, it's kind of like we did a Freaky Friday last episode. Well, we didn't do a Freaky Friday. Well, we're probably going to do the Freaky Friday here, but like no one's swapping bodies. Last episode, I did not. It's like, I was actually kind of excited to see the Terrible Two again, because one of them is a ghost now, and I feel like we didn't really explore the fact that these two are not only haunting J-Pop, but also each other. Can you imagine if your annoying failure son dies, doesn't even make a blip on your worst enemy's radar? Like, truthfully tell me, do you think Firestar even knew Hawk Frost existed? Besides the fact that he was a temporary deputy.
I mean, he did. Remember, before they left, Hawk Frost's mom was like, they should stay with me. And Firestar's like, no, Tiger Star. And she was like, well, he's Tiger Star's son. Do you still want him? And Firestar said, yes, they've done good. Like, Firestar's kids have been a credit to their clan.
But after that, do you think... did Hawk Frost actually make any negative impact on Firestar's life besides like the one life he lost, but that wasn't even Hawk Frost's direct action?
I don't even know actually if he lost a life there. I don't think he did.
He just had like a bad time. So yeah. Can you imagine you are training, you are honing this perfect weapon of a son to do this one thing, get your revenge beyond the grave, and the kid dies. Like, not even like he doesn't even get a good chance at it. Like, you got close. Like, yeah, you failed too, yeah, but you at least got 9 lives. You were at least leader. Your son wasn't even deputy. He was
temporary deputy. Yeah,
like, and then he
really
dies,
count.
And then he's like dead with you. He's in the cursed forest with you when it's like, ugh. At least Darkstripe has the sense to stay away. But, like, now you're stuck with this guy. And he's just like, wow, Dad, you're the best. We're gonna... Don't worry, we'll get him this time. And it's like, oh, how are we gonna do it? Let's choose his blind grandson who absolutely does not want anything to do with us.
Well, you know what? I bet Firestar barely thinks of Hawk Frost ever.
No. He doesn't even remember the guy's name.
No.
He's like out having drinks with Bramble Claw one evening after a hard day at the rig. And he's like, I remember when I almost died? And he's like, yeah, I do. It was, Hawk Frost. He was really almost, he's like, who? My brother? My half brother who was there with us? Oh, yeah. Like, I could just.
Right. It's like, that was, for Firestar, that was a test for Bramble Claw.
And for Tiger Star, that was embarrassing.
And for Tiger Star, it was embarrassing. Yeah.
And also, I just want to clarify, I don't think J-Paw is a bad choice because he's blind. I think he's a bad choice because it's J-Paw. Have you guys, like, watched him at all? This guy has a tood problem.
Well, he's got a tood problem, but also he seems to actually understand what StarClan says and, like, gets it. Like, he's smart. So.
And like, where did they see he was able to be manipulated? Like, where did they get...
Yeah, right?
Like, I could see watching Brambleclaw and be like, we can do something here. Or even Hawk Frost. But then looking at J-Paw, I'd be like, ah, no, not that one.
Well, I mean, I think they did. They did offer him what he wanted most, but he just has such a good head on his shoulders that, you know,
it took
he was
two
like,
words from yeah. Spotted Leafy. He was like, ah, yeah, you're right. I'll go become a nun. So now we went back. Our sister had a very good talk with our Aunt Brooke. I mean, she's not our direct aunt, but, her boyfriend dates our dad, so maybe she's our aunt. I'm not really sure.
I don't know how that works, but Aunt Brooke sounds...
Yeah, Aunt Brooke, and so it's just less confusing to call her that.
And then we had a great talk with Auntie Leafpool.
Yeah, so we quit our job, and then our brother...
We switched majors.
Yeah, our brother did bust through the door and was like, I gotta be a doctor. So... Which, and we also, I would say we also had a really good talk with Firestar. Firestar was very,
yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Grandpa.
Yeah, he was very nice about it. I think I couldn't imagine him not being, but also, like I said last episode, Leafpool's doing pretty good. She's still very young. Like, this isn't like,
yeah.
We got one good season left. You know, we have
yeah.
Fingers crossed, we have many, many years, so.
Hopefully. We'll see.
Why? I feel like, why does the cats have more lives? It doesn't make any sense. They're exposed to sickness. Or we should
be able to have more of them.
We need fewer leaders and more medicine cats. I mean, while we're doing this Freaky Friday thing, let's switch that up too.
All right. So J-Paw has burst into the den. He's got to be a doctor. J-Paw looks to Hollypaw. He's sorry. But Leafpool assures him that it's all right. Hollypaw just told Firestar she wants to train as a warrior apprentice instead.
How relieving is that? He's like, oh, you're not mad? Because I feel like he would care.
Oh, he loves his siblings.
That's why his first thing was to apologize to her.
Yeah. Well, J-Paw blinks. Really? Hollypaw nods. Maybe this was the perfect solution. J-Paw had always known herbs better than her. But would Firestar agree? So Firestar asks Leafpool if she's ready to take on another apprentice so soon. Leafpool would be honored to be J-Paw's mentor, she says. She thinks that the clan would be lucky to have him as a medicine cat. And Hollypaw stares at Leafpool. We're still in Hollypaw's head.
Ah, right.
Why does it look like she's hiding something? Probably. And what she's hiding is the fact that I think it's J-Paw's destiny.
She's trying not to seem too excited about this.
Yes.
Which I think is appropriate because she doesn't want to like hurt Hollypaw's feelings.
Yeah.
Also, I'm glad none of our other siblings apparently have the hyper-empathy power that we weirdly have as J-Paw. Like, J-Paw can delve into people's, like, aura and figure out if they're hiding a secret. But I like how the Lion Paw and Hollypaw are just kind of like, all right. Like, they both have very, like, they're always failing their insight checks.
Mm-hmm. What about his blindness? Firestar asks. Hollypaw bristles, and she thinks that surely J-Paw won't let Firestar get away with that. Defending her brother, Hollypaw says that he already knows the herbs better than she does. And Leafpool agrees. His sense of smell is incredible, and he can already tell an infected wound from a clean one a tail length away. Yeah, he's impressive. Hollypaw waits for J-Paw to point out that being blind had nothing to do with it. But J-Paw just muttered that he'll try as hard as he can. Leafpool will see soon whether he can manage or not. Very well, Firestar nods, looking a little dazed. This is a big... He did not wake up this morning and think he would have to do this much.
You guys just, like, rearranged all this. It's like you come home and you find out, like... They rearranged all the furniture, and you're like, this does work, but I'm just a little, so let's take in, guys.
Yeah, he's just kind of been on a roller coaster. Okay, so Leafpool will be J-Paw's new mentor, but first, we must tell Brightheart. J-Paw's ears twitch. She'll be hurt, and Hollypaw hears the anxiety in his voice. He'd never gotten along very well with Brightheart, but he's worried about her feelings now.
Yeah, in the 2 days that he allowed her to talk to him, do you think they've made a lot of leeway? No. Sorry, 2 weeks.
Hollypaw suggests that Brightheart could be her mentor. Firestar shakes his head. Her skills were perfect for training J-Paw, but not for Hollypaw. She will be a mentor again very soon, Firestar promises. Don't worry.
I don't know about that. What do you mean? Is it the one-eye thing, Firestar? Do you want to expand on that? Is it that?
Wait, what are you thinking about?
Why isn't Brightheart suitable for Hollypaw?
I mean, I guess it's more so that, you know, Firestar picks his mentors very carefully to, you know, what...
Complement or contrast their personality?
Yes. You know, like, what skills do they need to learn? And I think Brightheart would have been fine, but you know, Firestar is like, this is not who I would have picked for you.
Okay.
Holly Braveheart maybe isn't different.
She's pretty good. Like, maybe isn't as strong as in, like, battle, but...
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily, like, her fighting, like, her skills. It's more, yeah, like, the personality. Like, what does Holly Paw need to be taught to grow as her best, according to Firestar? And apparently, not Brightheart. All right. Fine.
Man, that's... okay, wow. Brightheart, once again, gets the short end of the narrative stick. Like, last time she was majorly part of... Actually, the last two times she was majorly part of a story. First time, dog. Or was it a dog? Mongoose?
It was dogs. It was a bunch of dogs.
It was a bunch of dogs, thank you. Wild weasel. I was like, what was the animal? Sorry, I lose track. What? It's not a hedgehog, just know that.
Yeah.
And then the second time, it's, is my husband not in love with me anymore? And that just kind of, like, resolved in maybe,
yeah.
I guess, it resolved. I don't know. I didn't find that arc very satisfying. And now I get to be a mentor for, like, 2 weeks, and I'm not anymore.
Goodbye.
Cool.
Well, what if she doesn't understand his decision? J-Paw asks. Firestar says it's up to him to make Brightheart understand.
Yeah, Firestar's like, I've made crazier decisions. Like, you do not even know. Brightheart has seen me do some, like, wackadoo stuff. She's seen me make Grace Trape the deputy. Like, she's seen some stuff. Don't worry. She'll be like, you know what? I'm not, like, really enthused about this, but, all right.
Well, Firestar can tell the clan what to do, but he can't tell them how to feel. J-Paw promises to make sure Brightheart knows the decision has nothing to do with her. This is just something he has to do. His voice is oddly flat, Holly Paw notices, and feels a ripple of unease. It's almost as if being Leafpool's apprentice wasn't J-Paw's choice at all, but something that had been forced upon him.
By the writers
and God. Yeah, I wonder, I bet he feels, you know, like he was kind of like, he had a real attitude with Brightheart. I bet he kind of feels bad for that now, just in hindsight, because he's like, oh man, like, this isn't your fault at all.
You should.
Kind of wish I wasn't such a little brat, maybe.
Yep.
So... Well, Holly Paw realizes the adults want to talk, so she excuses herself. She offers to go fetch Brightheart, and J-Paw says she's in the warrior's den. Holly Paw leaves, but thinks how weird it is that J-Paw always was completely aware of what was happening in camp. Magic. Holly Paw finds Brightheart washing herself in her nest, and Holly Paw tells her Firestar wants to see her in his den. Brightheart stops washing, her tongue still out. A blep. She does a blep. I realized that, and I was filled with so much joy.
KK did that today. He was snoozing real hard and, like, had his, like, snoot halfway on like, my bed. Ugh, and I looked, I just see his tongue going, and I'm like, yeah, I did get a photo.
Ugh, so. Little blep. But then she looks up, and her little tongue is still sticking out. This is the cutest thing in the world. Holly Paw leaves before Brightheart can ask why, though, because it is J-Paw's job to break this news. And Holly Paw's like, I can't keep this to myself, so I'm just going to leave. And she slips into the apprentice den. Yeah, she's like, she leaves the warrior's den, but then also hides in the apprentice den before Brightheart can ask her any questions. Which, relatable. And you know what? Now's a good time to visit her new home. The scent of yew is strange, and the nests are all empty. Holly Paw will probably be taking J-Paw's nest. She finds it by scent and looks around the den. And she's happy at the thought of sleeping among her clanmates. After moving out of the nursery, Her nest in the medicine den had felt cold and lonely. She wished some of the other apprentices were here to welcome her, but they're probably out training. That brings a prickle of excitement, because soon, Hollypaw would be training with them. Hollypaw goes back out into the clearing. Ice Kit and Fox Kit burst from the nursery and tumble towards Hollypaw. Ice Kit takes Fox Kit's head in her paws and pummels him in the back enthusiastically.
Oh, God, is this one of Daisy's kids again?
No, these are Ferncloud's kids.
Oh, okay. Just like, God, we're terrorizing these kids.
Well, Hollypaw gives Fox Kit some pointers, and Ice Kit wails, "That isn't fair." But Hollypaw says it doesn't look like she needs any help. So Hollypaw's kind of instructing Fox Kit as his sister comes at him again. And Hollypaw purrs that they're going to make great warriors. A flash of ginger and white catches her eye. Brightheart is leaping down the tumble of rocks from Firestar's den, and Hollypaw feels a pang of sympathy. Jaypaw had been her first apprentice. Brightheart had probably been eager to prove she could make as good a mentor as any warrior. And she really hopes that Jaypaw had been able to assure Brightheart that his decision had nothing to do with her training. Fox Kit prods Hollypaw on the shoulder. Show them a fighting move. And Ice Kit is very impressed with how fast Hollypaw can move. Suddenly, Ice Kit looks nervous. Firestar is coming, she whispers. Firestar stops in front of Hollypaw. He's decided on her new mentor. Hollypaw still feels a prickle of unease and worries that could she have broke the warrior code? But Firestar says she knows what's best in her heart. And Hollypaw thinks that yes, she does. So she's fine. You're fine, girl. Anxiety, but we're fine. Cloudtail hurries through the camp entrance. He calls to Firestar that he's on his way. Firestar tells Hollypaw that they'll have her ceremony later, but he's called her new mentor back from patrol, and if he agrees to take Hollypaw on, they may as well get started right away with training. She's got plenty to catch up on. Hollypaw nods, too excited to speak.
Wait, did we already get a mentor?
Would you like to guess who it's going to be?
Oh. Who's adults? It'd be fun with Sandpa, but she's Sandpaw, sorry, I just used your baby name. Be cool if it was Sandstorm, but oh, can Grandma?
She has an apprentice, Honeypaw. We have seven other apprentices right now. Cool. So,
might be easier if you give me a list of the adult people who don't have apprentices right now, because Lord knows I can't recall.
Yeah,
please. Yeah, all right. Go get me the character book. Figure it out.
All right. We've got, let's start from the youngest. We've got Birchfall, Whitewing, Stormfur, Brook, Sorreltail. Well, Brightheart, but we're not getting Brightheart, and Brackenfur.
Brackenfur would be so funny.
Yeah, why's that?
I feel like I don't know. It'd just be a good combo.
Well, Brackenfur hurries into camp.
Ah!
Out of breath. He must have run the whole way. And he asks Firestar what he needs. And Hollypaw flicks her tail happily. Because not only is Brackenfur a great fighter, but he's clever and thoughtful, and she trusts his judgment as much as his strength. Firestar asks Brackenfur if he'd be willing to take Hollypaw on as his apprentice. Brackenfur looks to Hollypaw and asks what happened. Hollypaw tenses. Would he refuse? She's already let one mentor down after all. Hollypaw says She doesn't think she's cut out to be a medicine cat. Brackenfur holds her gaze for a moment before turning back to Firestar. he would be pleased to train her. Firestar will leave Hollypaw in Brackenfur's paws then. Brackenfur looks his new apprentice up and down. He warns her that she has some catching up to do. She knows she's going to train extra hard. Good. They'll do battle training every day to start. Great. Brackenfur tips his...
excited for her.
Yeah. I mean, what a blow, though, to poor Brightheart. Like,
I literally just said, the girl deserves nothing.
I know.
Nothing but the best, and yet just she keeps getting just, like, the worst. Come on, leave her alone, Aarons.
And then her brother gets it, you know? And it's like, oh, okay.
I did forget.
He's already had siblings, yeah. I mean, they weren't apprenticed together for some weird reason, Blue Star. But, yeah, they're siblings. And Brackenfur has trained a couple of apprentices. Well, he had Tawnypaw, but then he had Whitewing. So Brackenfur tips his head. He's not going to ask what made Hollypaw change her mind. If she's going to be a warrior, he wants her to focus on the present, not the past. She's made her decision, and he expects her to stick to it.
Oh, I can tell you exactly why. I want to beat people up. There's something about the love of passion. I have a bloodlust in me. He's like, oh, wow, I wish you didn't tell me. Jeez.
This is why I didn't ask. Hollypaw vows that she will. Brackenfur asks if she'd be ready to start training right away, and Hollypaw nods. Good. She can join their hunting patrol. And then this is my favorite thing that apparently Brackenfur does. Brackenfur turns and races out of the entrance. Taken by surprise, Hollypaw pelts after him. I guess Brackenfur just runs off a lot.
I told you this is going to be fun and chaotic, and he's proving my point. I was just like, something about Brackenfur, this little bundle of just this dude. Like, I can't tell
just
you.
Just a sweet guy.
A lot of details about him. Besides, he's just nice. He's just a guy.
Good dude.
He let a kid who's known for running away was nowhere near his mentor just walk out of camp the other day.
Yeah. And then Firestar's like, you're ready for your own kid again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he told anyone, but imagine if he did. Poor Spike is like, oh yeah, Brightheart, I saw your... She's like, I actually don't tell me anything anymore.
Well, this is Hollypaw's first hunt.
Woo.
This is so exciting. Brackenfur does not slow down to accommodate her shorter legs. All the time that Hollypaw had spent sorting herbs had exercised her mind more than her body. And she realizes how much fitter the other apprentices must be. She's running twice as fast to keep up. Brackenfur glances over his shoulder as she struggled after him, and he encourages her that they're almost there. They meet up with the rest of the patrol. Graystripe and Millie are pacing in a clearing. Ashfur and Spiderleg are talking quietly. And their apprentices, Lionpaw and Mousepaw, are competing to see who could skid the furthest through the fallen leaves. Which is adorable.
I love that. Oh my god.
Lionpaw looks to his sister in surprise. What is she doing here? Meet my new apprentice, Brackenfur announces.
That's great. Let me out of my cage!
Oh. Well, Lionpaw is like, that's great. No questions, no follow-ups. It's like, yeah. Love this guy.
You know, is this what you guys are so bummed about? Ugh, I'm glad you got it resolved. Comes back to camp, brother's still upset. God's making me a doctor. Okay.
Graystripe touches his muzzle to Hollypaw's and congratulates her. Brackenfur asks if they caught anything while he was gone. Ashfur complains that the prey is hiding from the cold. Brackenfur says there must be a way to tempt it out. It'll be as hungry as they are. Lionpaw suggests they could dig them out. Ashfur points out that the ground is too frozen to dig. Spiderleg suggests they try by the beech tree. There will be beech nuts on the ground, even this late in Leafbear. And Brackenfur agrees that prey will be more likely to venture out there than anywhere else. We use bait.
Bracken for races. We're so close to figuring out agriculture, guys. I'm scared.
So close. Brackenfur races away again, and the patrol takes off after them. Hollypaw follows, and she wonders if Brackenfur always gave such little warning before taking off? How do the others know to follow him? So Hollypaw's just like, why does this guy just keep turning and sprinting away? Well, you know what? Brackenfur's got places to be, and he's got things to do. So you know what? Respect. Her muscles scream for her to stop, but she's not going to show that she's struggling to keep up, and she's so relieved to see the beech tree ahead. Hollypaw slides in beside her mentor, and he tells her to keep still. And Hollypaw apologizes as she realized her tail was twitching with excitement. The rest of the patrol lines up to search the ground. Lionpaw hisses that he sees something. He's staring at a trembling leaf. Was that really prey? Hollypaw sniffs and smells dead leaves. Then she smells mouse. Her tail thrashes, which made the bracken rattle. The leaf flips over and Lionpaw shoots towards it. Too late, he curses as he slams his paws down on empty ground. He glares at Hollypaw. She scared it off. Hollypaw's ears are hot. She's sorry. Ashford chides Lionpaw not to be hard on Hollypaw. It's her first hunt. Lionpaw shrugs. He tells Hollypaw that it's okay. He's just annoyed because he wasn't fast enough. Thank you, Lionpaw. Hollypaw says he looked fast enough to her. And Mousepaw points out that they're only fast enough if they catch the mouse. Brackenfur orders them to keep quiet or nothing will come out. Lionpaw hurries back and the patrol takes up their positions. After a while, Hollypaw's back hurts from crouching so long. Lionpaw had caught a mouse, Ashfur, a vole, and Mousepaw had just taken off after a sparrow. Honestly,
this is actually what my dad hunts. And, yeah. But this is what I find. Hunting is just a lot of laying there still.
Yep.
And not moving. The first hunting trip I ever was brought on, I barfed. Not because of the hunting. I just did. I did not. He's like, go to the bushes. Great. I did not make it to the bushes. So, yeah, it's really boring. So I feel for her. I feel for her.
Your turn, Brackenfur says in her ear. Hollypaw stiffens. Is he sure? She'll learn more by trying than watching.
Yeah.
Hollypaw sees a leaf move. She dashes out and leaps onto it. But it's just a leaf.
Yeah, girl. Okay, maybe we...
She looks back to the patrol, prickling with embarrassment. Graystripe's whiskers are twitching. And Millie sends her mate a sharp glance. And his whiskers still.
Oh, man. I'm going to keep loving Millie until until I have reason not to.
You can keep loving Millie. That is
acceptable.
Thank you,
Millie. Sorry, that's so Millie? Funny. Graystripe needs that.
Yes. Millie assures Hollypaw that it's the same for every cat when they start. Have another try.
Girly, I started learning when I was 45. Don't worry, you got this.
Yeah, you're fine.
I love that Millie, like, went back to college and got her degree in, being a wild forest cat. Like, literally, this is the plot of Uptown Girl, the song, I guess. But, I mean, instead of, you know, a woman from a privileged background, a wild forest man, both get kidnapped or something. We don't really know about Millie's backstory, I guess.
Millie was just a house cat. We have a quote-unquote manga adventure, a graphic novel of Graystripe's adventure of him meeting Millie and getting home.
Okay, no spoilers.
So.
I thought they'd both be in like a pound or something, but I guess maybe he just
No, she was a kitty pet, you know.
Cute.
I don't know much more beyond that, but she wasn't like taken from the wild or anything.
That's... I thought it would have been they were both in like the shelter or the pound together. But it's almost
no, because somehow Graystripe got adopted.
What?
Yeah. Graystripe got adopted and they didn't neuter him, which was really irresponsible, but I think could have made such a cool like side plot.
But then again, sometimes older cats, people don't neuter them once they get older because it is hard for them to recover.
Graystripe is not that old.
I'm sorry, it's so hard to tell how old people are. A grandparent. Well, he's not a grandparent, but his best friend's a grandparent who's the same age.
Oh, you're right.
Assuming that they're their 40s, 50s. I guess that's maybe a bit old.
No,
but
man.
Maybe a bit young,
maybe,
actually.
I don't know. Maybe that is right. But I don't know. Anyways.
Interjection from Editing Brenna. Hi guys. A quick interjection here for me. This bothered me when we were recording, and it's it bothered me when I was editing this too. That's KK. He doesn't want me to tell you guys this, but I looked it up, and I don't know where I got this information. Probably just like, you know, you learn incorrect things, and as we grow, we learn and we improve. But I looked it up, and it's actually not that dangerous to neuter an older cat. It really depends on their overall health, and as always, me and Maureen, we're not vets. But yeah, it's not that dangerous to neuter older cats. So yeah, the fictional human owners of Graystripe really should have neutered him. But they didn't. Anyway, sorry the audio is rough. This is me just editing. Anyway, bye!
Holly Paw takes a deep breath. She's not fast enough yet to hunt from the bracken, so she settles on the root of the beech tree. And she doesn't move. Then there's movement almost directly below her. She tenses and waits. The mouse noses out into the open, heading for a beech nut. Holly Paw pounces and catches the mouse square between her forepaws. Well done, Brackenfur calls to her. Her first kill. She thanks StarClan for this prey. And she's on her way to becoming a warrior at last. Yay, Holly Paw!
Yeah, you went from healing to killing.
Hooray. Would you like to hit us with a cat fact?
I sure would. So as you might recall, last week's cat fact, meme cat, was a bit of a nesting doll situation, a layers of an onion situation. Well, let's slap another metaphor on there, as the sad eyes from the sick kitten image from around 2015 that was edited onto the serious cat have been also edited onto other cats and created their own memes. So this is, I guess, a web of onions or a web of dolls. Both are creepy, so
yeah, pick no, thank
one
you.
You like. Now, this meme started popping up around 2015 through 2017, which is appropriate, as that is when the like sad eyes were first appearing on other meme cats. This meme, I should send it to you, Maureen. Send. Oh.
Aww.
Oh my God.
Did you just hang up on me? Rude.
I didn't mean to hang up.
You just hung up on me.
Well, the send button's right by the hang up button. I'm sorry. There's your meme. You're still recording, right?
Oh my God.
This meme encapsulates what just happened.
Yeah, honestly, that was me.
This meme is an image of a cat's face. A black and white tuxedo with a black spot on the chin. Their mouth wide, probably yawning or meowing loudly. With sad, watery eyes added onto this normal cat expression. It makes it appear as though this cat is crying out in the deepest of despair. Like, just feeling really, just anguish. Which is exactly the context that it would be used for in many of the iterations of this meme. It would usually be, like, accompanying some, like, text of, like, oh, when you step on something wet and you're wearing socks.
Yeah.
That's what you're feeling. So how did this come to be? Good news. We have the full story this time. The original non-edited version of this was actually part of a photo set on Tumblr that was posted around 2015 of a user's cat making a lot of silly expressions, probably playing with a toy, is what I thought when I first looked at it. Just like there's like,
yeah, it looks like there could be a string in this.
Yeah. Yeah. And most of the images are pretty blurry, and there just appear to be a string of something happening there. And the first image out of that set where the cat's mouth is opening and they're kind of going, at the toy, obviously, was the one that became edited by another Tumblr user with the sad eyes, which, you know, makes sense. This was the time it was popping off. The meme was born, and it, like, just, you know, kind of traveled throughout the internet. And moving forward a couple years in the future, in 2019, the meme totally, like, divorced from its original context, had spread far and wide. And at this point, the poster of the images, @watery_day on Twitter, which, as I was, like, researching this, as I was reading the article, I was like, what? Because I follow them. I like love their art. And I was like, what? I like double checked. I was like, yeah, this is an artist I follow.
It's actually a small world.
It is, right. And they made a tweet stating that this was actually their then 8-year-old cat named Inky, with the name
Inky
spelled I-N-K-K-Y. Inky had her own Twitter account and several more funny photos, which and many of which were much more flattering. Here you can see another photo of Inky where you can see that black spot on her chin a lot more clearer, and you can see her full tuxedo glory.
Gorgeous, great little gloves.
And Watery_day, who goes by Ian and uses he, they pronouns now. I point this out as they were actually interviewed by Know Your Meme in 2020. And in that interview and a few other sources I have linked, it does not have like up-to-date pronouns for them. But I literally like follow him on Twitter and I was like, okay, those aren't the right pronouns or the right name. I will refer to them by up-to-date pronouns. Yeah. Because, you know, always respect when people change their identity and how they identify. But back to that interview, Ian confirmed that the original image was like from when they were playing with Inky with a string. They'd actually adopted her when she was only a baby. And Ian, he was only 16. So like this was... You know, I liked the part where he talks about the name came from the fact that he's like a young artist who is like, oh, yeah, such a cool, sick name. And it was spelled with 2 K's, so it's different, which I was just like, love it. Would have probably done the same exact thing. It's a cute name for a cat, so I think it works. That Inky was at that point in 2020, 11 years old. Ian, while he did make that Twitter, he had stopped updating it, but had at one point make some, like, art pieces, like a keychain of Inky, but wasn't, like, too interested in, like, capitalizing off the meme itself. Like, doesn't have a problem with people, like, using it. Mostly just finds it, like, oh, cool. Like, that's so crazy. Yeah. And actually, folks had found them through the meme and like follow them.
That's so fun
because they liked their art, and I was like, this is so crazy because like I follow you for your art. I didn't even know you were connected to this meme. Like, really a small world. So Ian was mainly grateful that so many folks enjoyed Inky and wasn't bothered by like the face being altered. It's just like, it's funny, it brought folks in, and it was a good meme.
Beautiful.
Sadly, not too long after that interview, in 2020, in September of that year, Inky did pass away due to cancer. the disease was affecting her quality of life. So yeah. She was humanely euthanized with Ian and their mom, with her as she passed. And aww. Those two were noted as Inky's two favorite people. And Ian said it best in the Twitter post made sharing the sad news. Quote, Inky was not only special to me, but to more people than she could ever comprehend. Unquote.
Aww.
Which I was just like, oh. You're right.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, so that's kind of crazy small world. Like, it's I was just like, what? Whoa. I like your Hobbit fan art. What do you... like, whoa! Really cool artist. I would suggest checking it out. I obviously will have their Twitter linked because of the post about Inky. But also, if you like art, you like with the stuff they make, I would suggest checking them out as well. So, yeah. So, that was... It just, like, I can't... These sad eyes, I gotta step away from them. They keep falling... I get into these crazy internet rabbit holes, and they just find... I open up a door and realize I'm in my own house.
Well, that was a cute one. Inky is adorable.
Yeah, big fan of Inky. May she rest in peace. Yeah. She's out in Star Clan right now, having a great time.
And will live on forever in this meme.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good, it's probably one of my favorite memes, just like, because you can use it in a lot of contexts. I feel like I've used this image at some point, probably sometime.
All right, well, thank you. What a delight. You ready to see how J-Paw's doing with his training?
I don't know, how's this, he already like said the quiet part out loud, where he's like, I'm kind of being pushed into this, huh, guys?
Yeah. So it's been like a quarter moon.
Okay.
So a week. He's been training for like a week. J-Paw's in the Elder's Den. Mousefur and Longtail are bickering. He doesn't know why they argue so much. Even now, Longtail's complaint is really just a way of telling J-Paw that he's worried about Mousefur's cough. He's like, why are you guys fighting? You don't dislike each other. You have nothing to fight about. Like, I don't know. Mousefur grumbles that she doesn't need herbs. Longtail urges her to take them anyways. She hasn't eaten anything since sunhigh yesterday. Mousefur doesn't like to take prey when food is so scarce. There are younger bellies to feed than hers. Longtail begs her to then eat the herbs, if only to give him some peace.
Oh my god.
Mousefur mutters crossly before taking them.
I love these elders. I hope they don't ever die. I love
them. They never die.
Yeah. Except for Goldenflower.
Except for Goldenflower.
Why did Goldenflower die?
And we just never mention it.
God! The treatment of Goldenflower and Brightheart is why I will fist fight the Aarons when I meet them in person.
All right, yeah.
We'll have a nice, respectful chat, of course, because these are very successful people, and they've made a piece of work that obviously we enjoy very much. But I do need to go to an alleyway with them and just like do it out real quick, because a couple of just for my girls, for my two beautiful girls.
Yeah, like we need to get into one of those rings with like the when you like have like the foam things on the stick.
Yeah,
so where you can kind of beat the crap out of each other, but safely.
Yeah, or those just like giant, I don't want to hurt you. Inflatable like balls, and we just go like we just bounce off each other.
Yeah, it's like I don't want to hurt you, but I do need to get this out of my system.
Like, it'd be like influencer boxing, but it's just podcasters versus authors. I feel like that could sell.
Equally noodle armed.
Yeah,
perfect. We'll
do it for charity.
Yeah, for the cats. Listening to the elders fussing, it feels like nothing has actually changed in the quarter moon he's been a medicine apprentice. He's bored out of his mind, doling out herbs. Next, he has to go see Stormfur to apply a poultice to his shoulder again. and Stormfur refused to rest and rubbed it off quicker than J-Paw can keep applying it. So, you know.
I feel like we're about to have, like, a real medical school experience.
I mean, yeah, and, you know, he's like, he doesn't like all these menial chores, but, like, isn't that what most of life is? I have to wake up and I have to brush my teeth.
I appreciate it because a lot of times when we're with medicine cats, we're just always stuck in the drama. Always stuck in the drama.
I want to see J-Paw get a doctorate with no drama.
Except I mean, he has part a big of that prophecy is being barfed and on is power. And like pooped on and peed on and just the worst time probably.
But also, I don't think this is going to be your medicine cat because he's got that prophecy and he can, like, walk in dreams and stuff, so
he's too powerful for no drama. I know we're about to get to it, but it's nice that we mention the doctoring stuff for, like, a little bit before. We're just going to... This kid's not going to have any time for that because the plot is going to be going.
Yeah.
This guy's never going to cure green cough. Oh, no, we'll have
plenty of time. No, we'll have plenty of time for him. It's so slow. It's okay.
I feel like if he's... We said that he's gonna, like, fix Star Clan when he gets up there, so I'm sure... he'll probably, you know, invent the cure for the common cold by the time he's done with his training.
Yeah. Well, Leafpool comes in and asks how Mouse First throat is. J-Paw tells her it feels fine, although it would be easier to tell if Mouse Fur would stop complaining long enough to let him feel it properly. Irritation spikes from Leafpool. If he can't be polite to his clanmates, he may as well go back to the medicine den to help her tear up the tansy Hollypaw was nice enough to fetch yesterday.
Girl, you were trained on the Yellow Fang.
No, you weren't. She's like...
Sorry.
No, she wasn't. She was trained by Cinderpelt. And so Leafpool always seems so sweet, but this kid is gonna test her.
Good.
Another moment. You got yourself in this
situation, Leafpool. I'm sorry to say, I don't like every situation you end up in, Leafpool, is sometimes a little bit your fault.
Well, another moment in the medicine den, and J-Paw would burst. So much for his great destiny as a medicine cat. Spotted Leaf hadn't warned him life would be one tedious chore after another. Which, like, that is all life is. I'm sorry. We just have to learn to have fun with it.
You do have to take a shower. You do have to do the dishes. You do have to do your taxes.
You
gotta
clean your house. You have to vacuum.
You gotta do it. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It is tedious, but you gotta
God,
do
you
it.
Have to feed yourself every day. Gosh, it's so much.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. And sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
But you can do it. Come on.
You can do it. J-Paw follows Leafpool miserably back to the den. Leafpool snaps that J-Paw drifts around camp like a dark little cloud looking for someone to rain on. Which is great.
Love that.
J-Paw complains that he's bored, and he feels Leafpool's exasperation. Annie would think that she forced him to become her apprentice. J-Paw agrees that she didn't force him. But it's what she wanted all along, isn't it? Is she happy now? Do I sound happy? Leafpool hisses. And J-Paw feels the fury beneath her pelt. Why did she have to be so mad at him? Couldn't she understand that he had expected more from life than this? It's okay for Leafpool, J-Paw snaps. She always wanted to be a medicine cat. And J-Paw doesn't? It's my destiny, he mutters. Wanting doesn't seem to play a part in it.
Let's then take a deal walk, with it. Kid.
No.
I have to tell you something. But also, like, for real, he did get shoved into the storyline. I said that I didn't want this to happen, and look where we are.
Then deal with it, Leafpool growls unsympathetically. So that's how we're doing it now.
That's so funny. I don't think that was the appropriate response, but maybe it was. It is super funny.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Like I said, this kid's gonna test her.
Oh my god.
J-Paw starts tearing up the tansy carelessly, leaving strings of the stalk attached. Like, definitely he's doing this on purpose. Leafpool sighs and sits beside him, nipping off the trails he'd left behind. Her disappointment shows in every small, silent movement she makes. Guilt prickles Japaw, and he wishes that he could find the words to explain his frustration to her. But whatever he said would only make it worse. And, like, that's the thing, it's like, Japaw is just so young. He's had to deal with a lot. You know, people, like, you know, the expectations of others, you know, they don't think he can do things. He's just, like, right now, he's just young and angry.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And it's like,
you have time to grow.
Are we really going to blame him?
And God just forced him into a new job.
Yeah.
What would Leafpool say if she knew just how miserable he was giving up his dream of being a warrior? And for this, sorting herbs and worrying about belly aches. Stormfur enters the den looking for Leafpool, and Japaw smells the sour odor of his scratches festering on his shoulder. Japaw had forgotten to apply the poultice, and he feels even more guilty now. Leafpool asks if he treated Stormfur's scratch. Japaw points out that Leafpool told him to come back to the den. He's right, Leafpool sighs. She'll do it. Japaw needs to rest. It's half moon tonight. They'll be traveling to the moon pool with the other medicine cats. Japaw is waiting for Leafpool at the camp entrance. Brightheart is laying next to Cloudtail on the half rock, washing herself. He feels her hurt like thorns. Firestar had promised Brightheart that she could mentor Ice Kit or Fox Kit when they were ready. You clock that, Brenna?
Yeah.
She gets to mentor Ice Kit or Fox Kit.
And then they both die next season.
But she hadn't gotten over the pain of losing Japaw as her apprentice yet.
Yeah. Duh.
Staring at her isn't going to make her forgive you, Leafpool says, startling him. Japaw says Brightheart won't listen to him when he tries to talk to her. She just changes the subject or finds an excuse to go somewhere else. Leafpool says she'll listen when she's ready to hear.
Can you blame her? It's not like you've been, like, really friendly previously towards her.
No. Well, Brightheart had to fight hard to prove to her clanmates that she's just as good as they are. This must feel like a battle she's lost. Japaw never meant to hurt her. Leafpool says it takes some cats longer than others to see past their weaknesses clearly enough to appreciate their strengths.
Hold on, and until I gotta look up some lyrics real quick.
Okay. And until they do, they feel every hurt like a tongue on raw flesh. Japaw feels like she's trying to tell him something more with this, but really does not want to think about it right now. He just wants to leave camp. His paws are itching to be on their way to the moon pool.
It doesn't really work, but all I can, I've stuck in my head is Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
For Japaw, it's on his playlist.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think that is where we will stop today, because the moon pool is going to be quite the journey.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a shorter episode, but y'all will forgive us.
Yeah. Because I'm so tired. I bought a house.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't. But
yay,
I'm here. So, yeah, we're gonna wrap it up there. I mean, we got two new jobs in this episode. All right,
we got two new jobs,
and let's be fair. Brackenfur was running everywhere. We got tired out.
Yeah, we're exhausted. We had to follow him through the forest.
If you need a breather, because Brackenfur, please slow down, man. Then take a quick stop at our social media at WCWITcast on Twitter or Instagram. You can also shoot us an email at WCWITcast@gmail.com. We also, if you want, you can fiscally support us, monetarily wise, with our Ko-fi and our coffee. It is linked in the episode description. But the best way to help out the podcast is to share it with a friend and say, there aren't any inaccurate comments or facts about horses in this one.
None.
None. There might be next week. Just wait.
Oh, no. Mm. Because I'm Emberheart.
And I'm Tinkletongue.
And this has been Warrior Cats.
What is that?